Nether Regions. A Before Life Story. Written by Randall Graham. Narrated by Raul Beneja. Dedication. For S and P. Chapter 1. He thinks, therefore I am. Narrative convention dictates that any human-shaped shadow gliding along a moonlit rooftop is proceeding with malice aforethought and up to no good. When the edges of that shadow hint at pointy bits resembling rifle barrels, grappling hooks, and blades that stubbornly fail to glint in the moonlight, the suggestion of sinister intent is thrown into what you might call sharp relief. When you see the shadowy figure vault across an alley and settle into what could only be described as a tactical position, it's best to ditch your assessment of this figure's state of mind and focus instead on putting as much geography as you can between yourself and ground zero. He thinks, therefore, I am. The shadowy figure of present interest did have something on its mind, but you couldn't call it malice aforethought. As for whether the shadowy figure was up to no good, he'd be the silhouette most likely to insist that good and evil are contestable, ideologically informed notions that inescapably depend on one's current frame of reference, prevailing social mores, and assorted contextual factors he'd explore through numerous questions that were as pointed as the knives on his bandolier. That's just the shadowy figure's way. He thinks, therefore I am. That was the thought that presently burrowed into the shadowy figure's brain. It was one of the worst thoughts he'd ever had, one of those pesky neural spasms that turn up at 4 a.m. and jackhammer their way to the forefront of your mind like a repeating scrap of melody that you can't entirely place and, after it replays in your head about 230 times, makes you wish you'd never heard of music at all. It was grating in the way that chewing aluminum foil is grating, as ignorable as a kidney stone, and precisely as much fun as spotty Wi-Fi. Not to put too fine a point on it, it wasn't a thought the shadowy figure liked, the figure in question being the I in the phrase, he thinks, therefore I am. The thought did have the virtue of being true in as much as the shadowy figure would admit the truth existed. But it was dangerous. It was a wound. It ignited a mental brush fire that threatened to burn this shadowy figure's thread from the tapestry of Detroit. That's Detroit, as in the place you go when you die, by the way, an afterlife where the locals don't believe in death before life, and where any suggestion of a pre-mortem world is written off as the sort of bunk you get from the basement-dwelling conspiracy mongers for whom the collective noun is subreddit. At least, that's how things used to be in Detroit. The idea of a before life had been written off as bunk by practically everyone in Detroit, until fairly recent events had snatched the blinders from the bulk of the Church of O and blown the doors off any notion that the mortal world was a myth. This had filled the minds of a chosen few with a host of dizzyingly uncomfortable ideas, and, for the shadowy figure we've been watching for the last page and a half, the chief uncomfortable idea was, he thinks, therefore, I am. He'd been willed into existence. He was another man's idea, thought into being by a city solicitor with the power to bend reality into whatever shape he liked. The shadow was just another one of the city solicitor's machinations, an idea set into motion and brought to life by a passing thought. And he'd sprung into existence with a name that had been dredged out of a mortal life that even the city solicitor couldn't recall. That name, in case you hadn't already guessed, was Socrates. Socrates, the immortal philosopher-cum-assassin, who'd been thought up out of nothing, brought into being by an unconscious spasm of the city solicitor's will.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?